For November 30th, 2018, we talk about the Golden Joystick Award winners, The Company, and we do a free play multiplayer. Welcome to Level 265. My name is Cole Ross.
My name is Stephen Meyer-Smith.
I'm Jella Prendes.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Back after taking some time to do Thanksgiving stuff, we are here in these couple of weeks before we have to take time to do Christmas stuff.
It's the holiday slump, I guess. I don't know.
It's not the holiday slump. It's just kind of like, oh, I hate missing weeks in general, but also, you know, it just makes sense to miss that week anyway. And every other podcast does it. As, you know, it's just on a holiday week, I end up having to listen to music. I'm like, what's the deal with that?
Are you listening to Christmas music?
No. I worked at a mall. No. I worked in a mall for too long to do that.
Yeah, it's like, I have a friend who is doing like some, she's like in a choir, a show choir, and she is having a performance here soon. And it's already at a time that I already have like several other obligations anyway, so mm-hmm. that I'm going to have to juggle and figure out which one I'm going to do. And she only just invited me, so she got the rejection on that. But it would have been Christmas carols. And I worked retail as a manager for far too long to really want to hear Christmas carols.
Yeah.
ever. They've been kind of wrecked for me.
I was at a store today and I heard a cover of the song that drove me the most nuts when I worked in a mall, which was that Paul McCartney, Simply Having. I hate it so much. And somebody decided, no, one of these is not enough. We need more than one. So I will make my own version of this. Yeah. Oh, well, hey, guys,
you don't hear anybody who's like, oh, I love Christmas music this time of year. You only hear people complain about it, and yet stores still play it.
I think so. But I also think that the people who like it are just kind of a silent majority. I don't know.
The people who don't like it are very, very vocal about not liking it, you know?
Yes.
So the people who do like it are like, I don't want to say anything about liking Christmas carols, because then I'm going to hear all these people bitch and complain. Yeah. Like, if you like Christmas carols, more power to you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to voluntarily subject myself, though.
Yeah, that is the thing. So, I'm
convinced it's just what they call it, a false flag operation. So that Fox can have more ammo for its annual War and Christmas stories.
I'm surprised that hasn't started up yet. Actually, usually that picks up right at the beginning of November, but it'll be here soon enough. Hey guys, I got a kitty cat.
Yay!
Yeah,
an adorable kitty cat.
Yeah, she's a little cuddle bug. I'm trying to pump the brakes on doing too much social media about her. I'm taking photos and things like that. No, she's a real cool cat. Low key, really, all she wants is to be in the same room as me. That's the only really time that she gets upset is if I lock her away in cat jail. Because
she is now.
Yeah, that's where she is now. She gets overwhelmed with the full house tour, so it's like, you know, we're during the day when there's plenty of light out and she can see everything. It's like, okay, you know, you can be out. It's cool. Nighttime though, she starts getting a little extra, which is fine. But she's still getting
nocturnal, right?
Yeah. This is very much like wanting to get me involved in it, though.
I thought they just slept all the time.
they sleep.
That's chinchillas. Chinchillas sleep 23 hours a day or some such.
Good God.
Yeah, so that the remaining hour, they actually move faster than the speed of light.
Right. And they also bounce and jump like ridiculous heights, yes.
Yeah. But it's,
does this mean you're going to have a cat cam now when you stream video games, Cole?
That'd be really cool. I don't know. She needs to like find a place where she likes to be, though, is the thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you can only set up a cam in one place unless you want to go overboard.
I'm just saying you could you just need to train her to attack you at random moments when you're playing Hex Crank streams.
People on the stream were joking about that. They're waiting for the ultimate jump scare, where it's not the game that gets me, it's her. No, the only funny thing, and this is just an anecdote, and I promise the entire show will not be all about cat stuff, but this is all new to me. It's strange taking care of something. I've never been primarily responsible for an animal of any kind, really. I got her home, and you know, I sat in the room with her for most of the day, just playing on my phone and checking stuff while she got used to being not in real cat jail, which is the tiny little cage that she was in at the Humane Society.
Cat penitentiary.
Yeah. Doing real hard time down at Shawshank. I wish I could think of a cat themed thing of Shawshank, but I can't. In cats near Castle Rock, Maine. Yeah. but I was sitting there, I was like, okay, I just want to make sure. Meow Alcatraz, that's really good. and I was like, okay, does she know what the litter box is? Does she recognize it? And she walked over to it, and she was getting ready to use it. I'm like, okay, here we go. This is a big thing. You're responsible for something else's poops. And she let loose just the most raucous diarrhea I've ever seen. it was real rowdy times. So I was like, okay, that's new, and it's clumping litter, so it'll be fine, and whatever. I called the shelter, like, hey, should I be worried about this? And they said, no, like when they get nervous or anxious, or they're around new people, their guts are real sensitive. They'll just they sometimes just do that. They get diarrhea when they're anxious. And I was like, oh my god, just like me. So. and
finally someone understands me.
Yeah, you know, and the payoff to that, I was scooping her litter box this morning, and I said out loud to another living being, I looked at her and I said, did you make turds for me? Yeah, because her loose stools are all cleared up. And that is my gross cat parent story.
So I
don't have any weird, gross bird stories. Why you got to come up here with some nasty? Huh?
Because it's funny.
So the cat I had growing up, the first day we had it, was a similar like, oh, does it, know how to use the litter box? And it proceeds to get into the litter box, kick a bunch of the litter out onto the floor.
Oh,
get
no.
Out of the litter box, do its business in the... in the litter on the floor and cover it up. It's like, well, I guess we can put that down as sort of.
Yeah, six of one, half dozen of the other. Huh. So yeah, that's that is my story, other than just normal Thanksgiving things. Yeah. Ben, how about you? What's going on?
I went out of town for Thanksgiving to hang out with some old coworkers and friends and had a good time with that. And I just got back yesterday, so I'm resituating myself. Hmm. But yeah, it was a good trip. And I got to see a couple games that I'll probably talk about later.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Yeah. How about you, David?
Not too much. Went back home for Thanksgiving. It was pretty adorable for my father's birthday. I got him a Amazon Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents really loved it, but the people that really loved it were my about 6 or 7 year old niece and nephew.
Oh, they go crazy about that.
Who proceeded to spend pretty much the entirety of Thanksgiving, like talking to it and having it tell them jokes and stuff like that.
Kids really have a sense for how to like play with those in a way that I speak at it like it's a command line, like.
Like, yeah, it's funny because they very much like, you know, it mostly worked. They didn't quite, I don't think, ever get the hang of the fact that like Alexa has to be generally the first word you say.
Oh yeah.
So they tell me a joke, Alexa. Well, that doesn't necessarily work as well as Alexa, tell me a joke.
Right. And everybody just heard a joke from their, not everybody, everybody who has bugged their own house is now hearing jokes. Yeah. Well, yep. That's cool. Did he like having that?
Yeah. Really enjoyed it.
Cool. Jala, how about you?
Yeah, so like I mentioned last time, I was hosting on PlayStation Power Podcast with George and Greg talking about Lunar 2 Eternal Blue Complete, and there's the link if you want to put it in the show notes. Anyway, I was also on there talking about Lunar Silver Star Story Complete a while back, and Azure Dreams before that. I've mentioned it before when I did so previously, but like if you are a fan of the Lunar games at all, we have now covered both of the remakes that were on the PlayStation on this PlayStation podcast. So definitely go and check that out. It was a lot of fun to do.
Cool.
That is Lunar 2 is like my favorite of the two games and one of my favorite games overall because of all of my wonderful memories with it and everything. So we got into a really good discussion about all of that stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, so that was a thing that I did. So definitely go check that out. The other thing, well, I also did a historic pub crawl downtown and went to Renaissance Festival. Mm. And I saw Tim or Frothyham and his wife and their friend for a little bit when I was over there. So
that's cool.
It was their first time going to RenFest, so I didn't see them for very long because they were very busy trying to look at everything. And I mean, like, I've been going to Fest every year for the fucking forever, so you know, like, it's not, you know, like I'm laid back, but I know what it's like when you first go the first time. There's so much to do, so
yeah,
but it was a lot of fun.
That's so good.
And then this coming weekend I have the Go Ruck Tough, so that's my last endurance event for the year. I've got Go Ruck Tough, and then I've got the Santa Hustle, which is a half marathon. I'm not worried about that, and I'm not racing that. I'm just kind of running it with some people from my running group just to be social. And then after that, I'm also doing a belly dance showcase, and that is all of my events through the rest of the year. Then I'm just working a lot.
Right.
So yeah, but yeah, I will come back and hopefully talk some great things about that. We will see how that goes. But yeah, that's what I've been up to lately. My Thanksgiving was real calm and quiet. It was just me and my parents, and we had tamales because I managed to talk my mom into letting me get some vegan tamales, and we had that, and it was great.
Was she opposed to them on principle, or was it?
She does not, like, I convinced her to let me go buy some.
Okay.
Because my mom doesn't want me to go spend money on her ever, and she also doesn't want me to go out of my way to cook anything, and whatever. So, like, the fact that I could convince her to let me get the tamales, we ended up getting them as research because my sister, brother-in-law, niece, and nephew are going to be coming for Christmas. And so I convinced her to, oh, well, you know, my sister really, really loves Mexican food, and she doesn't get it where she lives because she lives like up north.
Right.
And, you know, there's nothing, you know, no real semblance, especially not where she lives.
Just a salt and grease delivery mechanism. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, this is something that I can eat the leftovers if there are leftovers, and everybody can eat them and it's fine. So, you know, that is, I convinced her to research with me over Thanksgiving. So
nice.
Very cool.
That's nice. Yeah, well, that sounds like banter to me. We have a lot to talk about. We've been away. I've got games I played and beat. and I'm sure all of us have plenty to get to. So why don't we do the usual kind of show, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And we're going to get started with
The Brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Ben, you have brought us an awards show story. So yeah. I want to hear what is up with these joysticks and why are they so golden?
So, I believe this happened while we were away, but Joystick announced their Game of the Year awards, or their Golden Joystick Awards, which one thing that's kind of interesting about that is that they do it in October, they do it in November, even though there's like a month of video games come out still.
Right.
In comparison to like some awards, like the BAFTAs, for example, I think are in like April of the following year. So they kind of have some time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I want to talk about it is the ultimate game of the year, the goldenest of goldenest joysticks that were received, went to Fortnite, which is a game that I think
came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's Fortnite, the Battle Royale.
The game I will be talking about tonight.
Oh.
Okay, so the how I was going to pitch it was this is a game that very few of us have played, but I guess that might not be the case. So perhaps we're still current. But yeah, I thought that was interesting for at least from my perspective, because this is a game that I have like little no interest to play. Similar to like was it PUBG or whatever? Like I played that a bit, but it's like I honestly don't really find the gameplay too compelling, or like it's not my type of game or whatever. So I think it's interesting that it's game of the year, and I have no interest in playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be denied as a cultural force. Like, I've not seen a game take up as much, like, specifically kid and teen mindshare as this since Minecraft. Yeah.
That's a fair comparison. And there's things like Fortnite Monopoly out in stores right now. So,
yes.
Yeah,
it's also apparently increasingly showing up in the text of, like, divorce documents.
Oh yeah, that's a, the you, that's how you know it's getting big. That was a big thing with EverQuest and WoW. A little bit of a you made it when
you're causing divorces. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. To the credit though, they didn't like sweep all the awards. The awards were pretty evenly spread out.
Yeah. Look, just by glancing at it, it seems like God of War is very much represented among most as a winner among most of these categories.
Yeah, a few surprises too. His best indie game got was Dead Cells, which I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, everybody got some stuff. Octopath Traveler got best Nintendo game. Subnautica got best PC game. So there's some interesting results.
Yeah, and people might have seen headlines about this particular event because they gave a Lifetime Achievement Award to Hidetaka Miyazaki, the designer of Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, etc. You know, and like previous recipients, like we've got like Sid Meier. That might be it. Satoru Iwata, given posthumously after he passed. Stuff like that.
Who was the last one?
Satoru Iwata, kind of like one of the main people at Nintendo. He was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's some good stuff in here. I'm happy to see Subnautica got the nod.
Yeah. I was happy about that as well. I think that kind of lines up with how I feel about it. So.
And you know, the fact that Octopath Traveler is in there means that I am never going to play it because it will never drop in price.
it's a Square game on a Nintendo platform. It was never going to drop in price.
I know.
But don't worry, it will be re-released for every future Nintendo platform.
Of course.
That's very true. It will be, and then probably on several other platforms. But anyway.
Oh. Yeah. Jala, you have some accessibility stories and you know I love them shits. What
I didn't even intend for that to be like, hey, 2 weeks in a row I talk about accessibility, but when I was looking for a story, this one jumped out at me among all the other stuff I found. Because I'm sorry, I am never the one who's going to talk to you about an awards thing.
We all have
and there are several other things that I, stuff. It's just not the type of news that grabs my attention. So, so anyway, there is a thing called audiogames.net. There is also a thing called the Game Accessibility Project. And both of these things are, you know, meant to obviously help with the accessibility of games for players that have some kind of a physical challenge. And there are more than 7 million people that have some kind of visual impairment or disability in the U.S. alone. The article talks about the Racing Auditory Display, or RAD, which is a type of technology that, it's a type of technology that aims to provide an experience that is close to what sighted players get. And can be integrated into almost any racing game. It is a prototype that was released earlier this year by Brian Smith from Columbia University while he was like a grad student. He is now going to be coming in as an assistant professor at this time. But he's been working on it. He released a prototype. It has a couple of auditory features that are specifically for the blind. There is a sound slider that helps players understand the car's speed and position on the track. And then there's also an audio indicator system that alerts them to the upcoming turns. Now, here's the fun part. In tests, the blind players perform just as good as, just as well as, or sometimes even better than, the sighted players. So, you know, they are on equal terms, you know, to the sighted players insofar as their capacity to do this stuff. And also mentioned was Spider-Man for PS4, which has customizable settings allowing for larger subtitles and audible assistance. So, I mean, that's built into that game. And they're thinking that, you know, there will be more features of that kind just made part of the games as we move forward. And again, there is also this tech that's being worked on right now to make at least racing games something that blind, you know, visually impaired players can play just as well as fully sighted players. So that's all very cool stuff.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I had no idea that Spider-Man had those kind of accessibility features. I never dug that deep in the menu, but
yeah, I feel like that would have. At what point does then Spider-Man become Daredevil?
Yeah, no, everybody should get to play that game. So that's awesome. Yeah, no, I'd like to see this. I'd like to see the Rad in action. Would be the next step.
I'm thinking I now just want to see like the inevitable 80s action movie where, you know, they have to train like blind fighter pilots or something, like some awesome action movie needs to come out of this.
Yeah. I'm looking at this gameaccessibility.com link that you sent or that is embedded in the story here. And just looking at news, there's a news story about a Steam Greenlight game. This is from a couple of years ago. It might even be out or it might not be a game called Dark Passenger, which is a horror game where you play entirely by sound. And it seems to not exist anymore. Mm. I can probably do some digging. That seemed cool. That would have been fun to do on stream. But
yeah, well, there are also, like I said, that what was it, audio games or auditory games or whatever it was I said at the beginning, .net, and then the Game Accessibility Project, which are also working on making games that are, you know, not site based.
No.
So
it's on Steam and it's like $2. Dark Passenger. Oh. Sorry.
Cool. So that means you're gonna play it on stream?
I'll try. It'll be, it might be, if it's a short game, it'll be a good little dabble to do.
Yeah.
Neat. Anybody else have questions or comments about the accessibility stuff? I mean, I could make my same comments that I always make about, you know, accommodations for visually impaired, but I, you know, people have heard that.
Yeah. This just seems really cool.
Yeah,
it's cool to see it happen in more AAA titles, because I know Naughty Dog has been the usual person to lead the way in that.
Yeah.
And it's audiogames.net.
There we go. Yeah.
And they have a whole games list and everything. They have, there's a bunch of different stuff. They've got, let's see, Zork, the Chasm of Doom, Trivia, Finger Panic, Solitaire, Poker Solitaire,
yeah,
all different kinds of stuff. They've got a large list of titles. So, they apparently have quite a bit. This is a very long list. This looks like I'm on some kind of a ROM, you know, like emulator site or something.
That's a whole database.
Yeah, it's a big database.
Yeah.
So,
David. That's cool. David, let's backslide to Fortnite just a little bit. What's this story here about poaching going on?
Yeah, so I know. I just, to a significant degree, I was interested in this story just for how incredibly obvious it was, which was basically JP Morgan Bank is... trying to, you know, beef up its developer, I don't know, I guess, employment, and has decided that a good way to do that is to poach developers from video game development companies, most notably Fortnite. And they comment that about how easy it's been to attract these developers, which is kind of like, yeah, no kidding, you know, paying them would probably be a good start.
Yeah. Pay them, not have crazy expectations about the hours that you work, provide benefits, provide, you know, just not a job to not job to job, contract to contract, level of stability. Yeah, no, that's seems right to me.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, it's a little bit to the point that some of it almost seems some of the commentary almost strikes me as maybe being a little bit disingenuous, because they talk about how, like, oh yeah, the way we attracted this talent is by talking about how they could work on stuff that'll be seen by millions of people. It's like, you mean like Fortnite? So I feel like, yeah, I'm not sure the way they're saying they're attracting these people is really the way they're attracting these people. But no. I mean, it's not like that's awful, especially considering these are people that, previously probably haven't been, kind of gotten what they've deserved.
Yeah. And they don't want to go out and say, like, yeah, we decided to lure them by offering money that is somewhat commensurate with the value they create, because then immediately they can turn around and say, well, actually, compared to the value that you guys create. Yeah, no, it just if they break the kayfabe and start talking about, actual incentives that are getting people to go, then it's, then all of a sudden we have to start talking about wages and stuff. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course, this is America.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was basically the most, all of the news stories I was able to find this week ended up being just kind of the, things that seemed way too obvious. Like, I found a really well-written story about how, the Metal Gear Solid series is incredibly relevant to, modern day politics and socioeconomic stuff. But at this point, that seems like kind of cheating.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, that's something like Metal Gear Solid 2 specifically was fucking prescient, but it's not really a news story. That would be more of a commentary thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah. So I guess overall, I'm glad that, at least some developers are finally finding, stable careers.
Yeah. if you think the fast-paced, high-profile, multicolored rockstar world of being a video game developer is attractive, how about the just sheer panty-peeling appeal of back-end banking technology? Woo!
But you get health insurance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to say, like, being able to, actually support a family probably peels a lot more panties than whatever.
I regret saying panty peeler. I was trying, I needed to up, like, I upped the ante too much on the first one that I couldn't find the right adjective to, now so I had to go right to gross. Oh, well, yeah.
I am nothing if not here to, cause trouble for you.
So I'm going to move on to my story, which is just a fun little short story. It's called the Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. No, my short story is about Tamagotchis. Hey, remember those? Those are still a thing, especially in Japan. Most notably, coming out this January, we have the first Pokemon Tamagotchi. For people who are thinking, Tamagotchi, why does that... I'm thinking, like, beeping and poop. Was it a koosh ball? Was it a koosh ball that pooped? No, those are virtual pets. Little tiny key rings that have, things that'll beep at you and stuff. This is the first Pokemon virtual pet that is not made by Nintendo. So you had the Pikachu one that generated volts so you could play a little slot machine as you walked. It had a little pedometer in it. But it lets you take care of a little Eevee. And it can even turn into a Ditto Eevee or a Team Rocket Eevee, depending on, some of the choices that you make as you raise it. There's no word yet as to whether or not it will come out in America or the West more broadly, but it's not like a Tamagotchi requires a lot of reading. So if you wanted this thing, if you wanted to have your own little pot, your personal pocket Eevee, you could probably get it. So January. Any of you have digital pets?
I had a Digimon.
Yeah, that was I had a Digimon. I also had a knockoff Tamagotchi that I wish I still had because I'm positive it'd be hilarious.
I think I had. Oh, you know what? I didn't ever want one, but my sister gave me one of the actual Tamagotchi, and she gave me one because they were popular at the time, so I guess she thought I wanted one, right, even though I never expressed interest. She also at some point got me a Furby when that was a thing, and that was just to like annoy the shit out of me. To annoy the shit out of her, I actually used it. Well, and then to annoy her, I actually did use it. So, you know. Anyway, that's my story. My sister bestowed one upon me. I don't know.
Burdened you with one.
Yes, that's the best word for it.
Yeah. That is very funny. Yeah, no, I had Digimon, and there was the cunning game of trying to battle them without getting caught by the teacher and having it confiscated. So, oh, well, that seems like a brief to me.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where usually we ask you a question and then you answer it. However, because we are doing these on the fives and zeros, we've got a free play multiplayer. It's 265, as it were. And I will MC all of these and we'll get through what we can in a reasonable time. Starting here with Mike, who says, you have the ability to change or fix one element of a game that you otherwise like. Which game do you choose and what do you change about it? As an example, Mike says, for me in Far Cry 2, I make outposts non-respawning, but also a bit tougher.
Okay. I think my answer might be a cop-out, but Knights of the Republic 2, adding in the content that they were supposed to add in, okay, I would fix that.
It's something you can do, but it's something you could do, but also something that is very easy to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jala.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'll do mine. Pathologic, but give me a console so I can up my movement speed if I want to.
So, I don't know if this is just because, you know, I was kind of, I don't know, set up for this from him mentioning Far Cry 2, but I think fixing the, basically the sniper view distance or whatever you want to say on that would be a, maybe almost single-handedly enough to make it one of the best games of all time.
Okay. Is it just that you can't see far enough?
No, it's actually that snipers are dang near psychic. So see you from virtually an infinite distance away. And so with more or less ignoring cover. And so it basically just makes it sneaking often impossible.
Yeah, that's no good. It's just fucking broken stealth.
Yeah. And I think my answer B would be, I don't know if I can do this, but having a plot in the second half of Metal Gear Solid 5.
Or just make credits after chapter one credits. Like that. Yeah. That can be fine too. give me less. It's cool. clarify mine just a little bit. Increase move speed in Pathologic, but also proportionally have it affect the meters. So you're moving more quickly, but you're getting hungry more quickly too. That way, it doesn't become unbalanced.
What is Pathologic? I'm not familiar with that one.
It's a very good horror game. You can look it up. Okay. Yeah, we did it for WAF in
yeah,
the summer.
You guys were rambling about that for a bit. That was a thing.
Yeah,
it seemed like it was everywhere in the Slack for a while there.
It's such a good game. Go ahead, John.
I mean, like that's cool. Yeah. But anyway, I think, and that you're gonna laugh at this. So, my answer would be, Danganronpa.
Oh, yeah?
Rewrite the fucking ending of that game that made me want to throw my Vita.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, I actually like most of everything else, but that one element, the ending of the game, like, mm-hmm. just change the ending of the game because it made me mad.
Yeah. Yeah, reasonable. Jack writes, what game do you consider to be the most wasted opportunity? In other words, what game squanders all of the goodwill, the promise of a great gameplay elements, or a great premise offered, and did it in the most heartbreaking way, relatively speaking, of course?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. People are posing thinkers. Not...
I know, these are good questions.
See, yeah. I feel like this might be the multiplayer where I just give the exact same answer for every question. because like Far Cry 2 and Metal Gear Solid 5, both very good answers to that.
Yeah.
Maybe even Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's actually a very relevant one maybe.
Oh yeah.
I had put down Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, going from like 1 to 2 was such a great improvement, but then they fired half their staff, and then Modern Warfare 3 was no good, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'll hop back up on my hobby horse and say probably like Silent Hill 4, maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a game I have affection for, but it just peters out in a way, and kind of signal the beginning of the end. And by the beginning of the end, I mean we're gonna just let this thing happen for another 10 more years. Specifically, the second half of that game, the fact that it's just the first half again is a real bummer. The first half, but now it's an escort mission. Jolly.
Everybody loves escort missions.
Help me out here. What have I really complained about? Like, I was really excited about, and then it just like, oh, you know, I've got an answer for this. Corpse Party. Like, not the first one. I like the first one. But the last one, what the hell were they doing with that? They just like, it was going in a great direction until it wasn't anymore. And I don't know why they did it. And it was a trash fire, and it was heartbreaking. And nobody wants to hear anything else about that game, but yeah, that's terrible.
Ugh. Yeah,
That was a wasted opportunity, and there were like some good elements even in the Miiverse one, but but then I don't know what they did.
Just turned
they just
into
broke
bullshit.
It. Yeah, they broke it. I don't know. That's my answer. Corpse Party, Blood Drive.
Bleh. Yeah, that is a good answer. Ollie says, is there a genre of game that you think could skyrocket in popularity if it was marketed properly? I remember IQ, Intelligence Cube, on PS1 being insanely addictive and fun, but it never got off the ground. I think there is a market for that kind of hard puzzle game with almost action elements. This is tough. Maybe my answer would be, man, this is hard.
You know, actually, my answer is pretty easy for this one. It's going to be a game that I'm going to talk about in The Grind, The Company.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be my answer. And I will tell you why on The Grind.
Ooh, teasers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say music games again. I think that we're back. We're ready for it.
Yeah, I don't think I have a good answer for this one. No. I agree with Ollie's answer of puzzle games that are also action games. I can think of one game that does that off the top of my head. So it's definitely a lot of space for that.
Is it IQ?
It's Fidel Dungeon Rescue.
Oh yeah. David, you got an answer?
I I'm not sure I've got a good answer. I could see maybe programming games like the Zachtronics type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't mind MMOs coming back again.
Yeah.
So, you know, good this time.
What do you mean?
Well, given the fact that you spend so much time in MMOs, that makes me, like, I don't know if I want to facepalm or laugh.
Well, I mean, you've basically got, what, like, Guild Wars and World of Warcraft?
I just don't understand, like, good this time. So MMOs have been around for a while. Do you want them to come back in a form when they were once good, or have they never been good and you want them to be good?
I guess it's more just the fact that, like, there's only been a handful that have been worth playing.
Okay. Yeah.
And actually, as a, I feel like we've, I know, our previous questions randomly as like games you'd like to, you know, fix and come back. I don't know how I'd fix it, but Matrix Online was a great game that, in a lot of ways, that was also fundamentally broken.
Yeah, it never found its audience either. That was part of this huge glut that Sony put out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, just in general, like, I don't know, someone needs to figure out a way to somehow make a modern MMO.
Or, you know, something like Azure Dreams, which was real weird because it had the town building and the dating part, and then, like, the raising of the creatures and the fighting through the roguelike tower. Like, that was a weird mishmash of genres, but, like, if they could figure out how to, like, market that and actually make something like that modernized, that would be fun.
So, it lacks the tactical battle stuff, but, like, that sounds an awful lot like Stardew Valley to me, actually.
And, no.
Just at, like, as a mishmash of stuff that shouldn't be as popular as it is, but it fucking set the world on fire.
Yeah, and see, like, that's kind of like my point. I mean, if you get a good mix of stuff going, but then, like, you know, because all of those elements that are in that game are elements that are popular in other games, and it is possible to do it right where all of those things are all together and they work well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it was a weird evolutionary dead end, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Austin writes, which would you play first? Superman 64 or Donkey Kong 64? By the wording of this question, you will end up playing both of them. Which one will you do first?
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I've got to say, I would play Donkey Kong 64 just, like, given the access to it. I love that game.
Okay.
I realize that calls all of my taste into question, but...
this is a safe space. Don't worry. I won't put you on blast. It's fine. I'm not happy, but it's fine.
I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. So if we take it to be that you will end up playing both of them, I will say Superman 64 because that is a far shorter game than Donkey Kong 64. If it's which of these would you know, like, what would you pick up if it was put in front of you and you could, you know, put it down as soon as you want, Donkey Kong 64, because at least for as annoying as it is to play with all the collecting and stuff and just, you know, the weird, ugly characters, it is functional, whereas Superman 64 is very, very difficult to wrap your hands around.
Well, my understanding wasn't Superman 64 more or less like cash grab the game?
It was real low effort.
Yeah, so like I don't know, it seems to me at the very least Donkey Kong, it seems like they at least tried.
Oh yeah, they put a ton of effort into it, but it's like a lot of effort, but to make a bad thing.
Yeah.
Never played Donkey Kong 64, so if the question is which one would I play first and just pick one of them, I would play that one. If I have to play both, then I guess I would do Superman 64 first, then Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Jala?
I already said Donkey Kong 64. Okay. I was the first person, I think, that we answered, or maybe I was right after David.
And we've established how short my memory is.
Yeah.
Corbin writes, what's your favorite gift that you've received recently?
I was gonna get some tea and cookies for my mom for Christmas from these artisan shops that are in Old Town Spring. And Old Town Spring is very far away, and I haven't been there in like 2 years. And a friend of mine decided that he was going to go get them for me so that I did not have to drive up there. But then he wouldn't let me pay him back. So he gave
Oh.
it to me as a gift, and it was actually a gift for my mom. But my mom needs all the cookies and tea,
Yeah.
and probably some blankets and hugs, very gentle ones.
Yeah. Well,
So it's great.
that's
That's
very
my
nice.
favorite gift.
Yeah. I will say, I'll lean on the recent thing here and say thank you, Ben, for getting me Finding Paradise, the sequel
Yeah.
to the Moon. I am
No
very
problem.
excited to get and play that, and I was going to grab it anyway, and you grabbed it for
Oh,
me.
To the Moon, that game that I turned away from because I was like, I can't stand these JRPG elements. Now that I've played some JRPGs, I should probably go back and see if I have tolerance for To the Moon.
Yeah,
See if you've built up the antibodies.
Yeah, I mean, I have played several very long JRPGs. At this point, you would think I could be able to get past all of that now if I go back to it.
Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, it really is just a movement model that is JRPG like.
And the little tasks they give you to do, that's
Yeah.
irritating as crap.
Yeah, you're just going around like the small little area looking for sprites.
That's irritating.
Okay. How about you, Ben?
Would say that I would also lean on recent birthday and say I got a birthday card that was just thanking me for being a good friend, and that
Oh,
was
aw.
that meant more than any of the like actual things I got, even though I appreciate those too. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
aw.
Nice. David.
Huh, that's
The coat that you got from your parents.
My mother did recently send me a care package that included a bunch of Halloween candy and a winter jacket because moving here from California, I did not have any winter weather clothing. So,
Now you won't
yeah.
die. That's very
Yes,
important.
you will not freeze.
Exactly, it is. Also, candy corn is quite possibly the best candy ever, maybe only second to those Valentine's Day chalk hearts.
Good God.
Oh boy.
David, Donkey
Do you
Kong
like
six
black licorice too,
He
David?
Hey,
Donkey Kong
no, I do not
64
like
in
black
candy
licorice,
corn.
so I guess I haven't completed the trifecta,
Yeah.
but
Yeah,
I know,
of
I feel
terrible
like my
candies.
taste is very much coming into question this podcast.
That's
That's
Well, you
again,
know
it's
what?
fine.
I questioned your taste when you were drinking pineapple cider. Oh my God, that's too sweet.
Yeah,
Oh.
that was. I'm a big fan of cider. I'm definitely a proponent. Pineapple cider, not so much.
Yeah, that was
But
so sometimes you have to experiment. You try new stuff,
I
That's fine.
also actually was recently given a like electronic pressure cooker,
Oh
and
yeah.
that
Ooh,
has been
like,
amazing. It's like
is it an
cooking
instant
with
pot?
no talent.
Is it an instant pot?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
cool.
I got one
That
of
and you
those.
can do it's not just a pressure cooker, David. You want to talk about a device that does everything.
Yeah,
Short of
so
actually
it was
pulling the
actually kind of funny
ingredients
though.
out of
I
the
tried doing the Jala vegan meal, and it turned out really well, except that I end up accidentally making 2 weeks worth of food in one go. So
I made 6 quarts of meal.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
funny.
mine is most often a rice cooker more than anything, but I do like pork shoulder and stuff in that. Yeah.
See, I can't justify getting an instant pot because I have all of the individual things that it replaces, and a lot of them are not actually electronic devices, which means that they won't break.
Yeah.
So, like, if I get an
Also,
instant pot
unlike the
and it
rest of us,
breaks,
you know how to cook.
oh yeah, well, there's that too. I cook a lot all the
Yeah.
time. I made some really good food this last week.
N n
Yeah.
n name one good thing you made.
Thai sweet potatoes are fucking amazing. I post a picture. Very good.
So, just this is completely off topic, other than being like, food in the life of Jala. Does Rami really drink coffee?
Yes, he does. He drinks coffee and orange juice.
That seems like either a horrible idea or how you get a Pokemon. One other.
Well, we already know, like, I can summon my bird at times. I'm like, summon the eagles, and I stick my hand out, or I call him, and Rami will come. Even if I don't, he just kind of, like, shows up. Oh, yeah. He's like a familiar, or like one of those pets that follows you around. It's like I'm a ranger in Guild Wars or something. So... He's kind of the best ever.
Nice. So we've been going for 20 minutes on this section, so I'm going to do one more here. Alexander writes, I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls 2, and that got me thinking. Which games do you guys think are better than their reputations? Who deserves more love than the fickle, heartless internet provides?
I would say Abyss Odyssey, because it has all these mixed reviews, but it's actually a very fun game. I've talked about that.
Odyssey's a good one.
Yeah.
Just to round it out, I think I could definitely say Far Cry 2.
the game that you that you spent the entire episode.
Other than that, one that I'm kind of loath to say, but I think Army of Two is definitely if you can ignore some of the questionable, like, I don't know, just like some of the questionable tone and lack of tact, particularly in what is it, 30th day or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Second,
the actual gameplay, I could almost even say I feel like it almost prefigures some of the kind of Left 4 Dead, like, not exactly that, but, you know, kind of the growth in, like, hey, co-op gaming is really fun.
Yeah. I can see that. And you had a good time with that. I've got an answer. BioShock 2. BioShock 2 is an incredibly good game. The gameplay is the best of the of that series, and the story is nowhere near as bad or repetitive as people claimed it was and still claim it to be. Yeah, BioShock 2.
I haven't played that yet because I played BioShock 1 and then I was just like done with it after that boss made me laugh so much.
After the Dr. Manhattan, like, boss. Okay.
That, yeah, I guess he's like, Dr. Manhattan. He just looks, he reminded me of like a Street Fighter boss. For real. Yeah,
that boss, this is going to sound dumb, but it always reminded me of the ending of the last Matrix movie, just in terms of, like, you know, let's all of a sudden switch to being a comic book.
Yeah. Dumb. Ben.
For mine, I'll say No Man's Sky, just because, not because it's like a great game, but because there's so much like vitriol against that game. Like, and granted, it was released in a bad way, but the game itself now is not terrible. So
yeah, deserves a second look.
Also, I'd say I think the Stanley Parable does not get the love it deserves.
I'm waiting for the joke.
Oh no, that was the joke. Just, you know. people love it and it doesn't deserve it.
Okay, right. It does not get the amount of love that it deserves, and it gets too much. I see what you did there.
No, I'm I always feel bad saying this. I'm totally joking. I didn't enjoy the game, but it's not a horrible game.
No, and now it's just a joke. Like, it's fine.
Okay, I always feel bad.
Like, no, does anybody on the show take it personally when he does that?
I take great offense to anything
you don't know
that
all
David
the hate
says.
Mail I get.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get the achievement for not playing it for 5 years, so I can't remember it well enough to remember if it's bad or not.
Yeah,
which is funny because neither can I. Sorry.
Oh, well, thank you everybody for writing in. I will bank those responses that we did not get for later. Yeah, we do these every five episodes or so. But this has been fun. Lots of good thinkers there. If you'd like to participate in these, watch for the responses. not the responses. Watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons. Thanks usually to Jala, and thanks sometimes to Dennis.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past period of time or so. David, you were not here last time, so I will throw to you. What have you been playing?
Sure. So I've been playing on Fortnite, strangely enough. Now, I forget. Did I talk about this some last time I was on, or when did I start playing this again?
I believe the last time that you were on, you talked about playing not Fortnite Battle Royale, but like Fortnite.
Yeah, so I'm still meaning Fortnite. Okay. Battle Royale, despite maybe having a better storyline than the story mode, is not something I've tried yet, but I've been continuing on with the you know, I guess you could say the co-op mode, the PvE mode.
Yeah, like the horde mode kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been you know, finishing up the Halloween event. I defeated Vlad the Vicious, and because, you know, vampires, I guess. And overall, it's been you know, relatively uneventful. You know, it's kind of just, you know, one of those games that's kind of fun to get on and do Zen mode on.
Yeah.
I do have to say it's got a major problem with players going AFK, because currently, as long as the rest of the players complete the missions, they get all the same rewards as everyone else.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's really frustrating. Although one thing that I do love is a lot of AFK players, in order to avoid getting killed by the enemies while they're AFK and having the weapons lose durability, they will build these huge, like, rickety towers up into the sky where the enemies can't get them, which I will then proceed to just, like, chop off the bottom layer and watch them fall to their death.
Yeah, they shouldn't get away with that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I occasionally will just, if they don't do that, will just, you know, train zombies on them. So I probably spend significantly more effort on trolling the trolls than I do on, you know, just the trouble they cause me.
Right.
But it's still kind of fun. Other than that, the weapons continue to just be nonsense. For example, in the weapon category, the weapons are in four categories. It's sniper rifles, assault rifles, shotguns, and pistols.
Mm-hmm.
However, to give you an idea, within the, sniper rifle category, in addition to, you know, what you'd expect, you know, semi-automatic, bolt action, etc., you can get shotgun sniper rifles and fully automatic sniper rifles.
So it's basically Borderlands.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's very much just, you know, all of the nonsense. It's also kind of fun because they periodically will come out with limited edition weapon sets that all have very distinct looks. So the current one there they have is the Rat Rod set. So all of the weapons look like they were pieced together from classic Hot Rods.
Hmm.
I think my favorite is the Swan, which is a light machine gun whose sight is the Swan hood ornament from a car. So yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of that, you know, just kind of good natured nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, not a lot more to say to it. It's, you know, seems like they're going in the right way. Oh, actually, I guess I should say they, released a UI upgrade this past week, which actually ended up being like, hey, we've added a bunch of, you know, fully voiced cutscenes and new characters and stuff like that to a lot of the missions.
Huh.
So it does seem like they do have an actual commitment to it.
That's good.
I think my favorite thing is one of your new characters is a doctor you recruit, and he sends you out on a mission to gather medical supplies, and he's doing his commentary on what you're collecting, and finally ends with, oh yeah, we found some get well soon cards. Oh, and condolence cards. Yeah, now we have everything we need.
That's funny.
It's like, yes.
Yeah.
That is great.
It's good that they're putting effort into that, considering the mode you are playing is not the mode that people are showing up for.
Yeah, so I'm kind of interested to see, it strikes me as very much they're intending to hopefully draw on that popularity to, get people to start playing and paying for also the other side of it.
Okay.
The thing that worries me, though, is the plan was for it to be free to play. However, I think with the fact that Battle Royale is free to play, I don't see it actually being a viable funding model outside of being a pay for game.
So it's not a viable funding model if you don't charge anybody for anything.
Well, it's more the thing is that basically in Battle Royale, there's Battle Royale and Save the World, which is a PvE mode.
Uh-huh.
Both use the same kind of premium currency.
Mm-hmm.
However, in Battle Royale, you can't earn premium currency without paying them, and that's very much what its economy is based around. Whereas in Save the World, it very much relies on being able to earn that premium currency in game. So the only way that would actually work is, it works currently because you have to pay to get access to that mode.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, there's a lot of, chatter on the, forums that, what's going to happen is when it goes free to play, they're going to remove all that ability to earn money, which I think would be really bad for the game, so I'm hoping they find an alternative.
Yeah. Are you playing with people that people from the community, or are you just doing public pickup games?
Just doing public pickup games. I'm not sure actually if anyone much plays. I'm not sure if there's crossplay. I think we have some maybe some PlayStation 4 players, I remember correctly, but yeah. I don't know if they can play with PC players because, Sony.
Right, right. Yeah.
So yeah,
Heads up. I'm also not trying to pressure you to socialize. That's just a
No, I mean, socialization is a good thing. At least that's what my therapist says. So
yeah. Okay, well, we'll believe him for now. yeah. What else?
I don't believe that. That's why I don't talk to my therapist.
There you go.
What else have you been playing?
That's about it. I'm probably gonna do a sweep in on the last day of Steam sales and grab some things, but haven't found anything that looks good yet. So.
Yeah.
Should we take a brief moment to talk about Steam sales? I mean, I guess it won't be relevant when the episode comes back, but have you guys got anything from it, or is there anything you guys want to get?
No, I'm saving money.
No, I was given a copy of Vermintide 2. Not that I've been on my computer playing games very often, but it was very nice. And so I have that to play sometime.
picked up some stuff that we're possibly going to be doing on WAF in the coming year. But yeah, nothing for myself because I'm just saving money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to find some good co-op stuff and get back into that, but I don't know what is, you know, actually able to run on my system.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm seeing that there is PC Building Simulator is a new game for Steam, which seems way too meta.
Yeah, that's like House Flipper.
Yeah, I think the next step is making Steam Sales Simulator, where you set the prices on games to try and maximize profits.
did you grab anything good?
I have a bunch of stuff on my wish list. All of them cost like $10. So if I get something, I'll only get like one or two games. Yeah. But I haven't really narrowed down on anything yet. So
yeah,
quite possible I will not pick anything up.
Yeah, I'm gonna do one last pass to see if there's anything that I might want to stream coming up. But mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is that all, David?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Cool. Jala, I want to hear what you've been up to.
Sure. So the first thing that I want to mention is Goetia or Goetia or Goetha or however you want to say it. I finished it. And oh my God, that ending.
is this a good oh my God?
Well, Cole, there are two endings, a good one and a bad one, but both of them are absolutely horrible. They're terrible. And I'm just kind of like bursting, wanting to talk about it. And I spazzed out on the Slack in the level chat about it. But I want somebody else to play it so I can talk about it with somebody. Some of the puzzles going towards the end are pretty easy and direct, and others are more complicated and challenging. So, like, it has a pretty big variety of how hard the different things you need to do are, how obtuse they are. And to answer Dennis's question, even though Dennis is not on to hear it, the demon portal actually just goes to basically a room that is like a reverse or some other, dimension, but it looks basically like the place that you were in previously.
Okay.
It's just like, it might be reversed, or that might be like a room that looks in on part of the house through windows or something.
Hmm.
So it's the demon dimension is just basically, another facet of the house. It's kind of like in Castlevania, where it's like the reverse, castle is it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have anything that I can say without spoiling stuff, either spoiling the story or spoiling the, puzzles, other than the way to change whether you have a good ending or a bad ending is that you have to collect some certain items at the end of the game mm-hmm. by solving a bunch of different puzzles related to the different characters that you get to know through all of that correspondence that you have to read.
That's good.
So it's good that I paid attention to it and actually read it because that's kind of like crucial information, actually. But you have to get these items. But in order to get the good ending, these items are incomplete. You have to find the other pieces of them as well. So depending upon if you get 4 items or 8 items, you change up how the end goes. Although, like I said, both of the endings are terrible. Like I got the good ending, but then I looked up the bad ending on and I was like, wait a minute, this can't be the good ending. So I looked at the quote-unquote bad ending.
Oh, no, I didn't know how good I had it.
No, like, they're both terrible. They're absolutely terrible. Like, yeah. in existential horror-type ways.
Mm.
So, like, yeah. This is, like I said, it has some parts that are kind of difficult. There is no fighting or any kind of fear of death or anything. So it's not like a horror game that way. It's mostly existential horror throughout mm-hmm. the entire thing. And you have a lot of feelings that you feel about the character as you learn more about Abigail and about her family and everything that happened. You would probably dig it, Cole. I don't know Well, then again, like you also did play Dr. Decker and stuff like that, and that's been like popular. So I guess it could be something you could stream if you were interested in doing so. But it's not, it's horror, but it's not a jump scare type of horror or any of that. It's a different flavor.
A slow burn.
Kind of like with Dr. Decker, because that one's not like horror in a traditional kind of way either. So.
Yeah, yeah. If Dr. Decker fits the remit of my streams, then Go Idea would as well. So. I'm not too concerned about it. I take your recommendation, you know, I value that. So
And it stays uniformly good throughout. So like, how it is at the beginning is consistent. Like it doesn't slump anywhere where it just feels like, why am I here or anything like that? Mm-hmm. It has a consistent narrative, and consistent, you know, consistent level of urgency to it. And things like that. So, I mean, like, it doesn't, the pacing, there, like, as much as an adventure slash puzzle game has pacing, like, it doesn't have any kind of weird snags or anything. So, mm-hmm. I can say that it's a consistently good game.
Yeah.
But.
Nice.
But anyway, so I finished playing that. The second thing that I played, guys, I opened up Steam and I actually went to the game that I intended to play instead of getting lost. you should be so proud.
That truly is an accomplishment.
you didn't get sidetracked by shiny objects.
I didn't get sidetracked by anything. I went straight to the game. I didn't even talk to anybody and like start conversations, because I do that all the time on Steam. And I didn't even do that. I just went to the game and started playing it. And and I realized that I hadn't played this since August. August, guys. Vampyr.
Oh yeah.
I got back to that game. Oh. Yeah, I was playing Vampyr a long time ago. I get really busy, and I just, like, lose any sense of when I played anything. So this is how games I play get set down for months or even years before I go back to them. you know, like, that's why it's dangerous if I ever set a game down, unless it's, like, portable and it goes with me. Because if it's on my computer, I may or may not ever get back to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I actually did start playing this again. And it's not that I got bored of it. Like, I jumped back into it, and I've been having fun with it. It's been consistently good. You know, the story is just as interesting and everything. It's just I just stopped playing for whatever reason. But I currently have gotten past the part where there is a funeral and seeking atonement. I finished that. For anybody who has played the game and wants to know, the guard of Prewin dude showed up at the hospital after a murder took place, and I'm supposed to go after the culprit now. And that is about where I'm at. And other than that, I am just trying to keep the people in the different districts that I have been acquainted with so far healthy. For the most part,
you're trying to keep that blood good.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I've been trying to do some of the side quests and everything for some of the people. I still can't unlock anything higher than like level 2. Like, I can't mesmerize higher than level 2 yet. So like, I can't eat most of them, but I find, like, I was worried about eating some of the characters in the places, because, like, the areas are all stable right now, but a lot of people started getting maladies and things like that, and I finally unlocked all of the different medicines that I can, you know, that I need to heal all of the different issues that people have. So then I was scrounging for materials and making, like, this honest effort to heal everybody in the... you know, different districts. And then because I found that I was underleveled when it came to some of the fights, I was like, okay, I need to eat some people. So I picked the most terrible people and ate them. and then when I did so, like, I found that it didn't really change the status of the place that I was in, because I had offset killing the one person by, you know, making all of these remedies for everybody that was sick. Cause there was you know, 7 people sick in a district, and I, you know, healed all of their problems and then ate one. So it evened out.
Do you want to make an omelet?
Well, and then like in one case, it actually raised the, you know, the stability level up by 2% or something. Cause like I had just healed so many people that it didn't even matter that I took that one shitty guy. You know,
so it's like the inverse of what's that Christmas movie where the guy finds out that, you know, everything would suck if he wasn't alive.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, yeah, it's yes, a wonderful it's life. The inverse. It's a Wonderful Life. You've showed that the world truly would be better off without him.
Well, the thing is, you have to be real careful about who you eat, because if you take one person, if they are related to anybody else, like if they have any kind of relationship, if they are, you know, dating or related to or, you know, friends with this other person, then that other person is going to miss them once they die. And that's going to have effects on something. I don't know if it's just the interactions with that character or if it has larger effects in the game. I'm not 100% on that.
Even just basically you lose out on a source of information to learn secrets about other people that they're connected to if you kill them. Yeah.
But that's why you just wait until everybody's, you know, you've got everything unlocked and then it doesn't matter anymore. Right, yeah. In the hospital area, I had taken one guy pretty early in the game, the first guy that I ate. But then I took the person related to him because she had already had everything unlocked, so it didn't matter. And then that way, there's nobody left to miss because both of them are gone, so no problem.
Yeah. Well.
You know, that kind of a thing. So anyway, continues to be a good game. I don't have a lot to say about it because I put in 7 hours because I started and I had only played like 9 hours and I'm at 16 now.
You're a good way through it then.
I put a big chunk of time in. So I'm still only in like act three or something. Mm. I think because like I stopped to go do a bunch of side quests and make remedies and all that other crap. But I mean, like that's all important stuff to do to level up and everything.
Nice.
But anyway. I don't have anything else to say about that. It's good. I want to keep playing it. I was actually playing it right before we recorded. So the last thing that I played, though, is The Company, which I have talked about a little bit on Cole's stream, just to like invading his chat, talking about other shit that he's not doing, or then also being on Twitter and stuff. And then also, I think a little bit in the Level channel on Slack. So The Company is an iOS-only puzzle game. It is $1.99. It was made by one guy, Gary Gogis or Gogis. I don't know how his last name is pronounced. The narrative of this game is basically that there is a company that is covering up the use of advanced tech to form a link with different universes or different dimensions or something, Galaxia and the other world. And your job is to stop this company based on the information that is leaked to you by an informant alongside whatever you learn by hacking into their systems during the gameplay. So there are 25 total puzzles, but that sounds like a kind of low number for a puzzle game, you know, but there's a second part being released later for free as an update. Mm-hmm. So the story leaves off on kind of a cliffhanger, but there's a whole nother half of the game that's going to be coming out later. So, you know, like stay tuned for more on that. Mm-hmm. But about those puzzles, though, no two puzzles are the same, and some are considerably harder and more obtuse than others.
They're really creative.
Some of the puzzles. Yeah, some of the puzzles you will breeze through and be like, that wasn't really much of a puzzle. And then other ones you're going to be like for me, I was sitting there literally all day fucking with this one puzzle that I'm just like, oh my God. And then Eric Z Chocobo, he has been playing it too after I talked about it on your stream chat.
Uh-huh.
And he got stuck on the one that I had been on all day and I finally figured it out. And then he's just like, go ahead and tell me the answer because I can't figure this one out, you know. But anyway, so the main reason why I have been kind of spazzing about this game, however, is that it utilizes the physicality and features of your device as puzzle design qualities, so like aspects of the puzzles.
Uses your camera, so, uses your like it senses your
accelerometer, It literally, not to give away too much, just some of the things that are, you know, things that you have to do in this game. You have to shake it There's a point where you have to shake it. There is a point that you need to physically move very fast, aka like run, get in a car, something like that with it.
Mm-hmm.
At another point, you need to decipher Morse code that's blinked out using your phone's flash or flashlight. They give you a Morse decoder, so it's not like, you know, like you're, you,
it's not relying,
I'm supposed
on outside
to know Morse
knowledge.
Code, you know,
yeah.
Like, no. You need to plug in your phone to a charger or adjust brightness settings or change dates. Mm-hmm. Or times, or any number of other things to solve different puzzles. Other puzzles require you to put your phone at the correct angle to see something, mm-hmm. Or to move a certain way with the phone in your hand, you know?
Yeah.
Some puzzles also require you to skip backward and pull information from prior puzzles and messages to solve the current challenge. And sometimes you have to go back not just to, like, oh, yeah, this one level, but, like, to a couple of different places, you know, like, and use some of the functions of prior puzzles. Like, there's one that has, like, an error decoder in it, and you need to go back to that. And there's, like, you know, things that are mentioned that you may need to go refer back to later on. So you have to pay attention to everything. In that way, I would recommend that if you play this game, that you sit down when you have a few hours to go through it consistently, because you don't want to forget what level had what, or what was the name of that thing, and then now you have to go skip through and try to figure out where it is or something, no. You know? So anyway, there is also an AR puzzle, and it is really cool, but like it's really cool, but it's very late in the game.
Yeah.
So, the only downside to this game, to my mind, are the times that this game isn't using your phone as part of the challenge. There are some grid puzzles that have popped up that are used repeatedly throughout, and they have different rule sets for how they're solved and like what gets activated when you touch what tile.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the same kind of thing, but it doesn't have anything to do with your phone's physicality. And it's not an interesting think outside the box kind of puzzle. It's just like a menial task that you need to go through to get to the next area.
It's like,
you know,
the game briefly forgets what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, it has different iterations, but, you know, and there are some other puzzles that are like logic related, like they ask you a riddle or something.
Mm-hmm.
And those logic ones are fine. That doesn't bother me as much, but those grid puzzles just seem like just a barrier, you know, just like a time waster or a barrier to slow you down in the middle of these things that you're doing. And like it, you know, if they could have found a way, or if he could have found a way to do those grid puzzles, but incorporate some aspect of the device, it would be a lot more interesting, because most of the game is using your phone in weird ways you didn't think about using it, you know? So like you have to go into the task manager at one point and, you know, like mess around with that. I mean, like there's so many different things that, you know, you don't think to do because you think that your game is this very contained thing that's just on the screen. But this game is outside of that, you know? Where the game really shines are basically anything related directly to your device and what it can do. Unfortunately, because it is a game that is utilizing all of that and trying to, you know, optimize the usage of your device as the puzzle box, that means that it's not on, you know, Android. It's not going to be something that can be ported to Steam, you know, like
that's
not something that can happen because of just what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way it can happen there. He could theoretically program it for Android, but the programming for an Android to my understanding is very, very different from an iPhone. And, you know, he'd have to master a whole new rule set to kind of port that over.
Yeah.
So,
although if he could navigate getting all those permissions on iOS, then
that's true.
You know, it maybe speaks to his credit as somebody who can handle this stuff. What this reminds me of, and if Dennis is listening, he's screaming at us for not bringing up the comparison. There's a game that he liked that I just never saw a lot of other people talk about, Metrico. Metrico on the PS Vita, which had a similar philosophy of like just using lots of hardware features on the PS Vita to, you know, incorporate into a larger game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I picked this up and poked around at it. I played it. I was going to sleep, so I didn't want to like get my mind. I didn't want to get too riled up over a puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of stopped when I hit my first resistance. But the stuff that I saw was really clever, and I'm excited to mess around with it more. So it's like specifically. So I tend to, when I play iOS games, I want to play them on my iPad just because, you know, bigger screen, it's, you know, nicer to work with. But this one very much is like, just play it on your phone. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So how far did you get? I mean, no shame in whatever number level you were on, but.
I got one past the screen brightness puzzle. So very early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's super early, so I don't feel bad spoiling that.
Yeah. So, yeah, but like there are challenging puzzles throughout the whole thing, and like once you figure it out, then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
And the thing is that because it's like that, once you get the trick, then it's not hard to get through. It's kind of like you play it once and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, like there isn't a replay value to it, because once you know the solution to the puzzle, you know, unless you forget all about the game, you know, and come back to it a long time afterwards, you know, although I am interested to see the update once they drop the other part of the game.
Well, so. I mean, more puzzles, like if it continues being creative like this, then
hopefully they will take the feedback that they have gotten so far about like, no, stick to the puzzles that, you know, have to do with, you know, manipulating your phone. You know, hopefully he takes that into consideration when he's programming the rest of it.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. Is that all, Jella?
That is it.
Cool. I'll report back if I have anything new that I discover in messing around with it. Yeah.
I'm definitely bummed that it's iOS only, because that means I cannot play it.
Well,
I need to find a friend with iOS.
Yeah, when I first started playing it, I had messaged Ben before I realized it was iOS only.
Oh, no.
And I was like, Ben, you need to play this game. Oh, my God. So, and then I was like, oh, hell, I forgot you have an Android.
Oh.
Cole, you need to play this game.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's funny. Let's see. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I got a lot of like small little hits. So I grinded a little bit more on Octopath Traveler, mostly because I was in an airplane and didn't have anything else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've explored every part of the map that I can go to now. So I'm in my levels like in the mid 40s right now. And I think the highest level cap that in most of the areas are like also mid 40s, maybe a little bit high 40s or something like that. But it's like, it's low enough that I can kind of go wherever I want, which is nice. I still don't know if I can beat some of the boss battles of the fourth like tier missions. So mostly just spent some time exploring and just trying to level up my characters. Don't know if I'll beat that game or not, but I imagine if I fly on a plane anytime in the future that I'll get closer to that goal. And part of the reason why I played that as well is I could not play Mario Party Switch on a plane because I got to a point where so there's like different game modes that you can play with that on that game. That's like, this is the other game that I played this week. And so I took it on my trip so I could play it with friends. But I unlocked one of the, like, there's like five different game modes that you can earn like trophies for if you like complete them enough. And I unlocked the fifth one that I hadn't seen before. And it's kind of like a marathon mode where you have to kind of go through the different puzzle games. And so tried to do it on the airplane, but the first one is like this marching game where you have to like pump the Switch controller up and down as if you're like marching and carrying like a baton or something that you're like waving in the air.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel comfortable doing that on a plane.
Probably
so.
Discouraged.
Yeah. So kind of pump the brakes on that. And so I'll probably wait for another time to play that and try and finish that. But I was happy to play that game with other people. It does seem like a pretty good party game. I think people are, in particular, there's one game mode where it's like you're rafting down a river, and it's like everybody like paddles. There's like four people, two on each side. So you have to kind of like steer down the river, and there's like obstacles that you have to like steer around and stuff. So you have to kind of like communicate some like, okay, right side paddle really hard right now, and then stop paddling and stuff like that. And then it's intercut with like mini games that are all cooperative. They're all like, everyone's working on the same team. So that's kind of nice that they have that mode, because I think that's relatively new for a Mario Party game. I haven't played everyone in between the N64 and this one, so. But yeah, I like that game mode at least, because that's something where it's like if people are just trying to play the game and they haven't played it before, it's a really easy entry point. Yeah, so that game's fun. That also is progressing towards completion. Another game that I've like moved the needle on is Red Dead Redemption. I've gotten to chapter 5 out of 6 of the game. There's kind of like a big changeup that happens in that chapter. But I haven't gotten back to it yet. So I've seen that. That's kind of cool. It's still kind of in the same space where it was last or 2 weeks ago, where it's a game I really respect, but it's not like overly fun for me to play. It's not like God of War where I'm like really excited to see what happens next sort of thing. It's more like I should probably beat this game, so I'll try and finish out the last like Ooh. Chapter or two.
Yeah, it's
yeah, good. Yeah. But I mean, that said, I mean the game's still very, I guess, respectable. I mean, it's still, I don't know. There's yeah, I don't know. It's still a very impressive game, despite maybe not being the most fun in my opinion. But
yeah, it's kind of petered out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the last quote unquote new game that I played is when I was visiting friends, they had just picked up Shadow of Mordor, which I think Dennis was playing recently too. And so I watched them play that game pretty much end to end from like the first chapter to like the third or fourth main part of the chapter. And that game looks really fun. It just reminded me, it doesn't look like it's much different from the first game. It's like they just have a few like nice upgrades to it. But it did kind of look like a fun experience, and I'm kind of tempted to go play that myself. It's $10 on Steam right now, so that was one of the games that I was kind of considering picking up. But yeah, it just reminded me of the Nemesis system that they have. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. A little bit cheesy at some points, where like some people will say quote unquote like cheated death or something like that, even if you killed them.
Very definitely killed them.
Yeah, it's like no, we already said that this is your Nemesis. So no, he cheated death. He's back now.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like okay. but that's still like it's a really pretty game. There's a lot of diverse environments in it, and I guess it's like 4 years old now, so but it doesn't look too aged despite being that old, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, it's a bunch of small little game bites this week. I think one last one is I played Mario Kart for the first time, also on the Switch.
Oh dang,
really? it's like the Wii U version of it. It's mm-hmm. They just ported it over to the Switch.
Yeah, it's fun.
But yeah, the game's fun. Yeah. Yeah, so I've nothing. Yeah, a bunch of small little things. I yeah, guess, so.
Did Super Mario Party land for the group that you played it with?
Yeah, I think so. Probably played it with people for maybe 2 hours or so. We switched over. We're doing other stuff too. So we did some like Jackbox, and we did some like Secret Hitler and stuff like that. So yeah. We had a little bit of everything. But
yeah,
yeah,
nice. Yeah. And is that all?
Yep, that's all I got.
Cool. So I have a handful, but I can go through them somewhat quickly. So the first one, I played and beat Marvel's Spider-Man.
Yay!
Nice.
Yeah, that is a wonderful game. Oh my god. Ben, you were right.
About which part? Of being fun to play? Or?
Yeah, I just said it's fun to play.
Yeah. I stand by. I think the puzzles are a really good part of it, though. The Doc Ock puzzles.
Oh yeah, just the circuit ones. I ended up warming up to them a little bit more. They just kind of felt like less puzzly and more chorey to me. Just because you know, if something didn't work specifically, like the resistors or what have you, you could just swap them out for a different one. Like there was no permanence to what you laid down.
Yeah, the stakes were pretty low.
Yeah. And just like anything that you put up against the swinging, like, and even the combat, it's just not going to, it's not going to feel as great.
Yeah. So, I was impressed by like the characters too. And like having like a good narrative in the game.
Yeah. The story was really good. I mean, like, I don't know. I was about to say, it feels like a different kind of Spider-Man story. That's, you know, it's probably about what you'd expect. You know, the city is in danger. You see a lot of people that you otherwise, you know, it's like, oh yeah, the you know, Dr. Octopus is going to be here. Mr. Negative is going to be here. But the way that those articulate, and even the way that they handle bringing in more familiar faces, are all really good. Mm-hmm. you know, especially like the way that they mess up, you know, mess with boss fights specifically. So, you know, there's a point later on, you know, who knows how much of this is spoilers, but like you end up fighting Rhino, you know, yeah, you end up fighting Rhino. And then, you know, you do a little bit of a fight with him. This is after doing a stealth section with him that is actually really good. The stealth in this is actually like not that bad, you know, for, you know, considering how bad stealth in a game like this could possibly be.
Yeah. It's not as bad as typical stealth. It's a good way to say it. Yeah.
Yes. However, it's really cool the way that they do mix 'em ups. So there are bosses that you fight, you know, a couple of times, but then it'll be like Rhino and then you fight him alongside Scorpion, and things like that. So, they make a lot out of a little in terms of the cast of villains that you end up dealing with, but at the centerpiece for the story and everything here is just fucking Otto Octavius, man. This is the best portrayal of Dr. Octopus I think I have seen. That even includes, you know, I haven't read too many of the comic books, but like prior to this, I thought, oh, like Spider-Man 2, you know, the movie with Alfred Molina, that was good, right? Like just that is probably about as good as that character can get. No, they actually did a really good job with him this time and portraying his particular condition and why he turned to villainy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, they do a good job like slow playing all the main characters' arcs as well. Cause like, there's so many, like, so, like, you know, like, he's not a bad guy until, like, halfway through the game, you know? Right. And it's, like, I guess it's, I don't know, like, what, a 20 or 30-hour game or so?
Yeah.
So, like, 10 hours of the game, he's just, like, yeah, it's your friend or your, like, mentor or whatever in science, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And you know so it's going to break bad, and you can see the signs before Peter does, but they do so much to lay the track for exactly, you know, why Peter would trust him, right?
Yeah. And even like, what is it? Miles? Is that the,
Miles Morales.
Yeah. They do a good job of like slow playing that character development as well. You know, mm-hmm. like, and like, he's not introduced until like maybe 5 or 10 hours into the game, but
yeah.
And you do a good job building all of the characters up. So
yeah. Very little of what is paid off feels unearned, which is, difficult to say, you know, for about a lot of like superhero media, you know. It's just it's just great. I mean, I don't know that I can say anything more about the movement in it, aside from the fact that getting from place to place is just unadulterated joy the entire way. It is the most impressive animation I've seen in a game, possibly, like just in terms of, you know, like maybe not like facially, although there is good, you know, acting that is done with the model animation, but like just moving place to place and fighting. It is a feat what they managed to accomplish. And
go ahead. How many of the side quests did you do?
I dabbled. I wasn't really a completionist. I wanted to see the story. It was so good.
Yeah. No, I think I did the same thing as well. I wanted to see if there was any that like you particularly liked or not, because a lot of them I thought was kind of like, oh, it's fun to do one a couple of times, but mm-hmm. I had no inclination to try and like clear out entire areas or anything like that.
Yeah, like the research stations were good. Basically anything that was like a race or a kind of navigation challenge, like recovering your homeless friend's lost pigeons is really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got the DLC. Like I finished it and I was like, well, fuck yeah, give me the season pass. So I'm looking forward to playing those, because my understanding is one of them gives me lets you play alongside Black Cat, which is good.
I did not even know there was DLC out for this game.
Yeah, so. There are two. There's the Heist, which I think is the Black Cat one, and then there is Turf War, which is the more recent one that I've heard good things about as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know if those are good from your experience, and then that way I might pick them up.
Yeah. Any other questions about Marvel Spider-Man?
It's a sizable game, so I'm impressed that you finished it in, I guess, 2 weeks then.
Me too. Yeah, no, I just, it was one where I should have been playing other stuff, but I was just like, no, this is way too fun. I can't actually stop myself from playing it.
I guess I'll ask this question. Have you played God of War?
No, I have not.
Okay, I was going to ask what your opinion was of this versus that, but yeah.
I will make that comparison when I play God of War.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The other thing I played, so I streamed Penumbra Overture, which we did a Watch Out for Fireballs episode about. And then I also streamed Penumbra Black Plague. And this coming weekend, I'm going to be doing Penumbra Requiem. Black Plague is interesting. They certainly make a choice with the kind of voice in your head, who is kind of your constant companion. Insofar as oops, all Pesci's guy very much sounds like he's looking for a real New York slice.
Kind of
thing. What they do with him is actually really cool. Like the role that he plays. So there's obviously something very, very wrong with the inhabitants of the mine in Penumbra Overture. Penumbra Black Plague actually gets you to the heart of what's happening in terms of it's a virus that is possessing people and has kind of a collective consciousness that it assimilates people into and causes them to transform in various ways or etc. Black Plague has you infected with this, and what you are hearing is like the voice of this disease kind of guiding you and like messing with your perceptions. So, you know, there'll be points where like monsters are hot on your tail and it will call out to them so that they will find you while you are hiding from them, or as you are running and trying to get from place to place, it can mess with your perception. So where once there was a door or an open way, there is nothing. Just like, oh, I can turn this off. I can just make you not see this thing that is important, which is a real cool way to fuck with your sense of well-being. And there is a tremendous payoff for that. What happens with when something malevolent can control what you see or the way you see things that I do not want to spoil, even though I did play it and stream it for, you know, a handful of people, but it's really good. The overall game, though, I don't think I like it as much as Penumbra Overture, maybe just because it does turn into something a little bit more typical than what Overture actually ended up being. It's a good move for them to like take combat out of it. And you can see the way that they are headed toward making something like Amnesia or Soma off of the back of this. I just think that Black Plague is not necessarily, it doesn't feel of a piece with Penumbra Overture to me.
Yeah.
Any questions about Penumbra Black Plague?
Nope. I was there for some of it.
Yeah. David, you played Penumbra Overture, right?
No, I have not, actually.
Oh, I thought you did. I remember joking about the spiders with you.
No, I basically did not play it for that reason.
Gotcha. Okay, and I've got one more small little thing. So there is an iOS developer named Philip Stollenmeier. He has a studio called Cami Box. I previously played one of his games and completely bagged on it. The game was called Sometimes You Die, and I really disliked it because it was like a basic puzzle platformer with a very overwrought, like, think about death in video games and what failure means, blah, blah. It was really not great. However, I didn't realize that Philip Stollenmeier is the person who made some of my favorite iOS games, namely Burger, Pancake, and now Bacon.
What?
Okay. These are very simple games. I believe Burger was the first one. What you have is an arm that controls a that controls a frying pan. So it's a simple 2D game. And when you tap, the pan flips up, and how hard you tap or how long you tap controls the trajectory of a burger patty. That flips, you know, that flips off of it. And what you're trying to do is land the burger patty onto a bun and trying to stack them as high as you can. It's incredibly simple. However, as the stack gets higher, the way that you finesse the burger into place and try and get it to land, gets more difficult. It changes, right? And so, you know, it's very, very tense when you get, you know, 10, 15 patties on there and you're trying to get your 16th on there.
I like that the burgers fall off of a cow, by the way.
Yeah. It's like you're cutting off a slice of like cranberry sauce out of a can. It just falls off of a cow. Pancake is, it's like burger, very similar mechanic, except an egg cracks open and it just, it's full of pancake batter, falls onto the pan, and what you're trying to do is flip the pancake as many times as possible. Again, harder than it sounds, but you get into a very zen-like rhythm with it. Bacon takes that same kind of conceit, and so a piece of bacon falls onto the pan, and what you're trying to do is flip it onto different objects or concepts. So flip the piece of bacon onto the Statue of Liberty, flip the piece of bacon onto a turducken, flip the piece, you know, it's not all random stuff, but like flip the piece of bacon onto Van Gogh's ear. And it's just a bunch of different things with different shapes that you are trying to get this piece of bacon to land on and stick to, without sliding off and falling. So, you know, again, it's all finesse. It is all about trying and seeing how it lays on the shape, and then trying to get it into the exact right spot at the exact right speed. And the amount of variety that it shows you as you go through it, the number of things that you can put that piece of bacon onto is very amusing. And it's a good extension of the burger, pancake, bacon kind of trajectory that he's going on.
Seriously. Well, it sounds like, well, the ratio there is mostly breakfast. I wonder what's next.
Yeah, I suppose there's a thing of breakfast. So yeah, to 2 out of 3 are breakfast. I want to see eggs. Yeah, I don't know what you would do with eggs that would be any different than pancake or burger or bacon, but
well, we'll see. Apparently it's enough of a thing that you downloaded all the different varieties of this game. So, I mean, if he makes an eggs, you're there for it.
Yeah, I'm there for eggs. It's really fun. It looks really simple, but you know, you get into the feel of it. One of the things that's amazing, at least in Pancake, what kind of kept me drawn into it longer than I otherwise would have been is the soundtrack, weirdly enough. So whenever the pancake hits the pan, you hear a drum, like a snare drum, right? And so as you're doing this and getting into a rhythm, it actually creates like a little just like drum line for you as you go about it. It's super cool. Yeah, it's super infectious, actually. Yeah, but yeah, bacon is a good game. It is a good game. I believe it's free or extremely cheap on iOS.
It's free. I looked at it, yeah, and I'm just like, cool. This makes sense for you, Cole, but I don't know.
No, it's not so much the subject matter. Like, it could be.
No, it's not about the subject matter. It's just the game. I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, okay, yep. Cool.
it's just a fun little dexterity game.
Yeah.
Can you cook the bacon if you leave it on the pan long enough?
So that's the thing. That's what I was curious about. I think maybe that he wanted that to be the case because the bacon does sizzle when it's on the pan. You hear a sizzle sound. I think that might have been a little bit too much because the floppiness of the thing that you are flipping is a big part of the feel of these games. So the burger's a little bit floppy, the pancake's a little bit floppy. I think that if variable rigidity was entered into the equation, I think it would change the game more than he was comfortable with. Based on how consistent the other ones had been. Yeah. And that's what I've been playing. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. So how do you all feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttons.
Okay. The credit. Thank you, everybody, for listening to level number 265. We really appreciate you taking the time, and also appreciate you going to facebook.com/thelevel to participate in the multiplayers. It's always a lot of fun. There's the usual stuff that you can do. Ratings, reviews, Patreon, things like that. If you are going to be buying things for winter holidays, consider going to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, using that Amazon link there. I understand if you feel conflicted about patronizing Amazon. I do. But if you're going to do it anyway, it is a good way to do it because we get a small slice of whatever you spend. And that small slice does not go to Jeff Bezos. Angela has forwarded a picture of some very fancy buttons that she is wearing. Are those dragons on your
those
buttons?
Those are dragons on my dragon boots.
Mm.
The ones that have the design on them that matches my hip tattoo. Mm. And those are sterling silver, no less. They are fancy buttons. I have the best buttons.
Extremely fancy.
They are fancy. But also, you know, we did get a review.
We did? Oh, yeah.
We did. Thank you for the review.
Yeah, very nice one. Yeah, I saw that. There we go. Cool. Well, am I forgetting anything?
Everybody else go review if you haven't.
Please do. We like it.
Yes, we do. We like it.
Yeah.
The end.
Cool. Well, I've been Cole Ross. You can see my streams on Twitch at DuckFeed TV.
I've been David Minesmith on the internet.
I'm Jalachan in places.
Ben Merkel at Merkel B on Twitch.
And stick around for some titles. Okay, who has titles for me?
I have one title.
Okay.
They're for eggs.
Okay.
Let's see if I have anything. I just had cat jail.
Okay.
I also had one title, and it was near the same time as Jello's. It was Burger Pancake Bacon Trajectory.
What you got, Cole?
I think we're hungry today, because mine is I made 6 quarts of meal. referring to the digression about pressure cookers.
Yes.
So no repeats. Does anybody want to lobby to make a case?
I will validate the fact that I am hungry. So that could be the subconscious.
Yeah,
but I'm good with any of the titles.
You know, you could just put it to the level chat and let them decide which item we will have as our title.
Okay, so I will throw out cat jail, and I will just put if it has to be food, I will put it to the chat. Yeah, there we are.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Works.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go to bed.
Sounds
I've got
good.
A long week of playing Baldur's Gate 2 ahead of me. So.
Oh, that's gonna be a long week.
Yeah. What's that?
Oh, no. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye, everybody. Thanks.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. So.